Matthew 26, everyone quiet down. Everyone quiet down. Turn around this way, teenagers, and look at me. Benny, Joey, turn around and look at me. Matthew 26, please. We're going to start in verse number 36. We're going to read a little bit and hope it'll be a blessing to you. Let me find it real quick. Matthew chapter 26. It's toward the end of the book there. Matthew 26 and verse number 36. And the Bible reads, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we're thankful for the opportunity to be in your house and among our church family. We're thankful, Father, to be together in fellowship and have fun. Tonight, Father, we look to your word. We ask that you speak to our hearts. If there's one among us, Father, that has never just surrendered their heart to you and to be saved, I ask God, please, that tonight would be that time. But for us, your children, Father, we ask that we would again, afresh and anew, re-surrender our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Miller Sway. My preacher always said there are three types of people in the world. There's those who make things happen. There are those that watch things happen. And then there's people who wonder what happened. Which one do you fall into? Have you ever felt like sometimes you've caught on just a little slower than everybody else in the room? When I was working at Caterpillar Tractor Company as a computer guy, we always classified people in three categories there, and it was the I can, you can, and let's do it together. And in group two was I can, you can't, so get out of my way and let me do it. And then group number three was I can't, and you can't either. And whose crazy idea was this anyhow? Huh? Does that sound familiar with some of your work experience as well? People can be, by their attitude, their action or inaction, can be put into a category. You know, earlier that night, Jesus said that one would betray him in verse 20. Now, when even was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, "Verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." And at some point in the life of the apostles up till now, they all had to have thought to themselves, you know, is it me? You know, they must have had their doubts about Christ. Now, I know it was foretold that they would forsake him, but up until now, it seemed like even they had their doubts. And Jesus identifies who it was in John 13. Jesus identified to John the apostle that it would be Judas Iscariot. And he identifies it. But in Matthew 26 and verse 36, they head out and they go to Gethsemane. One of the terriblest tragedies in human history is found in verse 36. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee." Right now, Judas is down at the temple, getting the temple guards and leading them across the Kidron Valley, up the side of the Mount of Olives, ready to arrest Jesus. And in our story here, you're going to find actually four groups of people. Here in verse number 47, it says, "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people." Group number four is Judas, and we're talking about someone who's lost, someone who has no use for God or his word or God's people. And there was a great number of them, it says here in verse 47. But another group of people was group number three, and that was your eight disciples. Here in verse number 36, he tells them to sit here while I go and pray yonder. These were one step away from the world. Group number two was the inner circle. Verse number 37 says, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. That's James and John. This is the inner circle. But yet group two is just two steps away from the world. But they are a step closer to God. And then group number one is Christ by himself. Verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. I want you to notice their position. If you're looking at your Bible, you're going to find that Judas is in the world. We see this in John 12, verses 4 through 6. You know, these are folks that are mad at God. They're mad or they're disappointed in the way God's done things in their life. Look at John 12. And verse 4, then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Judas is group number 4. He's lost. And quite honestly, this is just John Mix's personal opinion. He's mad at God. He was raised in the home of a leper. He was a social outcast along with his family. Jesus has come to Judas Iscariot's home, to his father, and had a meal with him when the woman came in and anointed him with the ointment. And Judas was angry. Why was this wasted? Why? Not because he cared for the poor, but he's going to put his fingers in it. He was disappointed at God. Group three, back in our text in Matthew 26, This is those eight disciples that were told to sit out a little farther. They're a step away from the world, but they easily fall asleep. And I think this is the majority of Christians today. Matthew 26 and verse 36. He says, sit here while I go yonder. But he comes back and finds them asleep. They're the nearest the world and the farthest from Christ, but yet they're still in the garden. Group number two is Peter, James, and John, verse number 37. And as I said, you see the position. Judas is not even in the garden. He's coming up the hill. You've got the eight that are just inside the gate. You've got the three that have gone a step farther. And then group one, where Jesus, the furthest from the world and the closest to the Heavenly Father. I want you to notice the number. In Matthew 26 and verse 47, there's a whole lot more folks with Judas than there are with Jesus. There's a whole lot more folks out there who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ then there are people who do know the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you know anything about humanity, you realize the majority rule is not always the best idea. Just because there's more out there than in here doesn't mean they're right. But you see, there's eight disciples. And they've got the highest number of Christians in it. They don't hate God, but they are just inside the gate. As close to the world as they can get. One of the neat things about having lines on our floors is that in Awana, they're told to stay on certain sides of the line. And folks will get saved, and they'll cross over from the world to being saved. But Jesus is way over there, and they want to live their life right here on the edge of the line, trying just to get as close to the world, yet I'm not in the world. But I'm just as close as I can get to it because, you know, I like what's over here. Because I'm afraid what I might have to give up to get over there. You're going to find a whole lot of people outside of Christ. You're going to find a large percentage of Christian brothers and sisters who are just in the door of the kingdom by the skin of their teeth. Literally just got saved and have no more interest than to get over there. In my youth ministry, my preacher said, right now it's an ambulance ministry, John. He said, right now you got to take the teens we got that are on drugs and are promiscuous and running in gangs, and you got to do what you can. But the goal is to one day teach them how to drive so they don't have to go off the cliff and be in your ambulance ministry. Why do Christians, when they cross the line into the kingdom, stop moving forward? As I said, you've got a whole lot of folks outside the kingdom. You've got the majority of the Christians that night just inside the gate, one step away from the world. The second group is the inner circle. They're two steps from the world. Praise the Lord. They've made an extra step. They've gone beyond the majority of Christians to a level of commitment that's better. But the problem is when we compare ourselves to other people, we can become unwise. Because we're not to look back at where we came from and compare ourselves to that. We are to compare ourselves to Christ, who is as close to God of the whole group. He's the smallest number. He's the one closest to God and being ministered to by the angels. Each step, whether to cross the first line and get saved, is a surrender. It's a surrender of our soul. It's a surrender of our will. It's a surrender of our pride. But to get all the way to where Christ is, it's a daily surrender of our pride, a daily surrender of our will to the Holy Spirit of God. But with every step you take, you draw closer to the Father. Notice the commitment level. Look at verse number 39. Group number one is Jesus. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Verse number two, which was the inner circle. As I said, they got a little farther down the path, but they stopped praying when they got tired. Look at verse number 40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and said unto Peter, "What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." It's still, these are folks that are saved. They're walking closer to Christ than they have been in the past. But they're still having to wrestle with the controlling power of sin in their life, just like the rest of us. Group number three is the eight apostles. Now, verse 48, they're asleep. They're completely asleep. And the majority of our Christian brothers and sisters, not that our church is perfect, there is no perfect church. But the majority of the people I run into that tell me that they're Christians are asleep. They don't understand an urgency with the fact that the person they work with, that they've known and spent 8 hours a day for the past however many years, they don't know if they're saved or lost. They've never had that conversation. They don't want to offend anybody. You know, Jesus said, or Paul wrote that when any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Something should have changed. Something should have happened. I wasn't there. Christian, listen, salvation is not just a prayer we pray. Do you understand? This is a life-altering realization of who Jesus Christ is. That's what salvation... I mean, when you realize who God is and how holy God is, your natural thing you're going to find is how sinful we are. That's the truth. And the majority of people you and I know who call themselves Christians are asleep. They're just unconcerned. Unconcerned with what goes on around them or the people and their condition. The last group are the ones that are in verse number 14 through 16. It says, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, 'What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you.' And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him." Group number four are the people who are Christian by tradition. They're Christian in name only. You see them on the big days and nothing more. But I will tell you, there is a group of children being raised in America in this county who've never stepped foot in a church, not for a funeral or a wedding or Christmas and Easter. We used to call them C&E Christians, Christmas and Easter Christians. They were Christian by tradition. But the truth is, this whole country's gotten to the where we've got a generation. I used to be very concerned that we've got a generation of kids in our church that's never seen revival, that's never seen the altars full, never seen 50 people saved in one sitting, one time, like I have. I'm also concerned for what I see out the front doors of kids that just never even seen what the inside of a church looks like. Don't know who Jesus is. There's four groups of people, my brothers and sisters. Look at their service here in group number four, we know they're lost. We know it. Their actions prove it. In Luke, number 13. Listen to what it says in Luke 13 and verse 26 and verse number 27. Listen to what it says. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Group number four is a people who serve in the flesh, and they're doing it out of tradition or obligation. Group three, it's interesting. When you go back to Matthew 26, Jesus didn't tell them to do anything. Did you notice that? He told Peter, James, and John to pray. He didn't tell the eight to pray. And that's probably because he couldn't count on them to do anything. They were eight powerless Christians, one step from the world, quite honestly looking for a better offer from the flesh. Group three Christians actually cause more damage to the cause of Christ than group four Christians. Group four Christians are Christian by tradition and name only. But those who name the name of Jesus, but who are asleep, that God can't count on to do anything, looking for the world to offer them a better out, they do more damage. It's interesting, in Mark chapter 9, you find that a man came to the eight apostles and said, my boy has got a demon, and nobody can cast him out. Your boys can't cast him out. And Jesus is like, if you can believe, he said, well, Lord, if thou canst do anything. Meaning, if your boys can't and they represent you, I'm not so sure you can either. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And in desperation, the man says, I'll choose to believe. I believe. My brothers and sisters, that's not how we ought to live. We serve the only God there is. And I know that's not politically correct, but I don't care. We serve the only God there is. Everything else is fake. And these folks are putting their devotion into things that don't matter. And I wonder sometimes when my friends that call themselves Christians, I wonder if they've had the same life-altering realization of who God is that I had. You say, well, why do you say that? Because I'm afraid God will kill me if I step out of line. You say, well, you shouldn't live in fear. Yeah, but he is a righteous and holy God. What gives me the right to dirty my life and filth up my life because I can? I think I'm serving the King of Kings as his emissary. And what they think of me is what they think of him. And that poor man brought his demon-possessed child to those eight group number three Christians who are one step from the world, who are powerless. And he started to doubt whether Jesus was who they said he was. Well, if thou canst do anything, help me. What a tragedy. Group number two, in verse number 38, 40, and 41, they quit. They also have quit. These are the ones closest to Christ, farther from the world than group three. But they quit when it stopped being fun. Look at verse 38. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even to death. Tarry ye here, watch and pray with me. Verse 40 and 41, I've already read, he comes and he finds them asleep. You know, there are no discount victories in our lives. There are no victories at discount prices. You're going to find as you walk with Jesus Christ, doing the right thing and doing the hard thing are very much the same thing all the time. You say, well, why is it so easy for them? Because the devil's already got them. Devil don't need to mess with them. You're the one that's dangerous. So doing the right thing and doing the hard thing most of the time is the same thing. So which group are you in? Are you in group one, not my will but thine? Anything you want, just say the word. Lord, you can count on me. Are you the one that says, well, not my will but thine, but if thine lines up with mine, we're fine. Not mine but thine, and if thine lines up with mine, then mine is thine and thine is mine, and we're really fine. Is that you? Which group of Christian are you? Can you say, not my will but thine, and truly mean that God's your master? I think a lot of times we as Christians are afraid of what God might ask. I know when I first got saved, I was probably 2 years into it. Miss Mix and I were just overcome with fear God was going to call us to Africa. We just was just like, oh. But you know, when I finally gave up arguing and bartering with God and laid myself on the altar and said, you can have me if you want me, God went, okay, now I can do something with you, son, because you stopped saying no. How many times do you and I say no because we're afraid God might ask us to do something? You know, there hasn't been anything the Lord's asked me to do that I turn around and regret now. Not one thing. I'm not a super Christian. I'm not really good. Ask my wife. She has to live with me. I'm not a super Christian. But there is nothing I've ever given up for the Lord Jesus Christ's glory that I look back and wish I had today. There's nothing that I went, oh, man, what a sacrifice. It wasn't a sacrifice. It was for God's glory. Now, I found that I'm happiest when I'm in God's will. So I'd rather be in Africa, in the middle of God's will, than anywhere else and out of God's will. If it's God's will for you to be on the streets of Kabul, then you're going to be more in danger right here than over there. I'd rather be out of the ministry and in the center of God's will than in it, out of God's will. Because you're more in trouble, more danger in your bed when you're out of God's will than you are on anywhere else in the center of God's will. But remember, there are four groups of people who call themselves Christians. There are those who are definitely lost, and they're just Christians by tradition. Then there's those that just stepped across the line, and that's all God gets. Jesus is going to take two more steps, but they're like, no, I'm good right here. I'm good. Then there's those smaller group that say, I'll take another step with you. All right, now I'm going to ask you to do something that's different than what your flesh wants. And they go to sleep. Only Jesus Christ that night was close to the Father and the farthest from the world. But with each step, he was met with ministering angels. And so many times you and I miss God's best because we're afraid that next step will cost us something our flesh doesn't want to give up. The problem is you're looking at it from the wrong point of view. There's something over yonder you have yet to experience that's even greater if you'll just get to where Jesus is. That's where the angels are at. That's where God is. You're the closest to God is over there by Jesus. You're the farthest from him out here with everybody else. Tonight I challenge you, which group are you in? Are you in the will of God where you are? Doing the will of God where you are. There's nothing more important than that, than realizing what God has for you as his child. If you're not his child tonight, I want you to come and talk to me later on, and I'll show you how to know Jesus as your Savior. You can come to that life-altering realization of who he actually is. You're missing something if you haven't done that. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we love you. And Father, we're thankful for the testimony of Jesus. We're thankful for the accurate record of Matthew as you've inspired him to write it. And Father, we desire to be as close to you as we can be, as far away from the world as we can be. God, stir us, God, from our complacency. God, please show us what you can do. Empower us, for all the work that we do in the flesh is just filthy rags, God. But you empowering, working through us, shining through us. Father, let the world see you accurately through us. And let us not diminish your testimony because of our own self-will. Father, tonight, as we continue our fellowship, Father, let us be sweet and let us commune with each other, grow stronger in our bond of love to each other as we do to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Do we have a winner?
I need to find my coat.
Where is Pastor Steve? There he is. Pastor Steve took care of